And long story short, that's how his balls turned into an inside-out vagina.
Sensible, adjective, having, using, or showing good sense or sound judgment.
I'm not a classy guy.
Come on, two words, nipple belt.
You look like peaches and syrup.
I think Amber would look good scalped.
Not sensible.
Sensible people.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in. We are your hosts, Taylor, Raw Dog, and Amber, and we are sensible people.
What's Today's up, sensible fuckers?
Episode, we talk about relationships and the different stages within a relationship. So circling back to my original hook line story, this comes from a college acquaintance, if you will. Somebody that I knew in college, but wasn't really friends with necessarily. This incident happened. He was at a frat house my freshman year of college, and he was dating this girl. It was actually a carryover relationship from high school, and he was dating this girl, and he went and had sexual activities with her, if you will, and they ended up fucking so hard, this guy's dick turned inside out.
What do you mean? Like what? Like inverted boner?
Well, here's the thing. He was fucking her so hard, and apparently he hit it the wrong way, and let's not say his dick, but his balls turned inside out. So they pushed inward.
So the shaft pushed the balls inward.
Yeah. So wrong position to choose, I suppose. But what happened was he ended up having to go to the hospital because he was in extreme pain. And they coined it testicular torsion. Have you heard of this?
So no, like never. Like a ball bruise.
Well, no, not a ball bruise contusion? Necessarily. And here's my medical opinion, but it sounds like the ball got twisted.
Oh, twisty balls.
Yeah. So to be honest with you, I don't know exactly what they did. He didn't lose the ball, but I wanted to start this whole conversation with his dating experience because I think it's a unique one and a funny one. Not for him.
Does your friend, like, I mean, is he well endowed or are we
He's
talking
not about... a friend. I told you.
Okay.
That.
Your acquaintance. Is he well endowed or is it more the tiny giny?
I don't know. I haven't seen his
because,
dick.
Because, I mean, a good jam shot all the way in, your acquaintance got to be pretty impressive.
The way he described it was he looked down and he thought he had a pussy. All of a sudden, it turned inside out.
Yeah, I cannot even picture this.
I think she's tiny giny.
Yeah. Yeah. She? He?
Well, who was he fucking? The sheep?
she looked like right? A sheep. But that's kind of one of the more extreme dating situations. But Amber, you wanted to talk about dating and how that.
Yeah, that's definitely not a typical dating experience.
Right, right.
And nowadays, I would say a according pretty typical to you. One. Yeah, that's never happened to me or anyone I've been with. But now, kind of the typical dating thing is online dating, which is weird for the three of us because all three of us were in a relationship or married before online dating was really prevalent.
We've never got to experience this branch, this craze
we
nowadays.
No Tinder. Like, I've never got to swipe left or right. But if you guys were single, would you do it now? Would you try it out?
Like, if you asked me 5-6 years ago, I'd probably tell you no because it had the stigma of, like, I'm not online dating. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it. That's not traditional. But it's just giving you another option. And the thing is, they're all categorized now. And so you got apps like Tinder that, you're not going to potentially find your wife on Tinder. You're going
to
find your next fuck.
You're not expecting to anyways.
Then there's, you know, more, I call them classier sites that you could get a relationship out of. And I've heard a lot of success stories out of it. So, fuck yeah. If I was single, I'd use that shit.
I would, too. In this day and age, I think it's completely socially acceptable. And I think it's an option where, you know, we live really fast, our generation anyway, lives very fast-paced lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we're busy constantly, and it's with work and commutes and
get out
going
there
on.
And meet
it's,
someone.
It's hard. It's hard for people, at least from what I hear. Yeah. But I can imagine if I was in that position, it's a little difficult for yourself, you know, to just go dating random and try to pick up people at bars every weekend. What? So it gives you structure to your dating environment.
You know what is interesting to me is, so you all know when you meet someone new, whenever you were single at any point in time and you were trying and you liked somebody, you saw them out and you wanted to go talk to them. How awkward is that? So when you meet someone online or you do the whole online thing, do you think it takes away, like you don't have to do that awkward small talk, or is it like even more awkward typing small talk?
No,
to meet
I feel
that
like
someone.
It'd be less awkward until you go to meet them. I feel like you'd still experience that the first time you meet them in person, but I think online it would be easier.
So when you guys when you were younger and AIM was available, mm-hmm. and you talked to somebody on AIM, or nowadays like we're all on Facebook and we all have those friends that we're not really friends with, but they're on our friends book or our Facebook list. When you see them actually like face to face, is that not the weirdest thing? Because it's like you're not good enough, like you don't know them good enough to talk to them, but yet you see all their shit on Facebook and you feel like you know them.
You know
so
them
like
personally.
Meeting them in real life, so like online dating, same way, you probably talk a little bit, you know, electronically before you go meet up, and then you meet up.
Well, I think that's why those profiles, you want to be as accurate as possible because you want people to actually know what they're getting into before they sit down across. And I'm sure half the time it's a crock of shit. And like you get to know the people by face to face interaction, not really what you've read.
So you're saying be truthful on your profile.
I agree. And I've always wanted to know what Ryan and Taylor would be like if they had an online profile for dating, but they don't. So I decided, why not come up with one for them? So I decided I was going to write them a profile, but I needed a little bit of help from them, you know? So we decided to do this Mad Lib style. So what I did was I wrote their profile, but I asked them for some keywords without them knowing exactly what they were going to be talking about. So they filled out their Mad Libs per se, and now they're going to read to you their profile and their response.
I
so
can't wait.
Ryan's going to read to you his dating profile, and then Taylor is going to respond in DM style.
And neither of us have heard either
of
these. Yeah.
It's in front of us, obviously, to read you, but we have not looked at it until right now. So here is Ryan the Raw Dog's dating profile. Hi, my name is Raw Dog. My age is 23 years old. I live in the Limerick Lounge. My height is 3 feet 17 inches. My body type is creamy. I'm looking for someone to play truth or dare with on a Tuesday night. I am attracted to a partner with a big old gooch and a small little belly button. I'm also very attracted to males with a good crusty fetus. I enjoy dry humping with my ferret. I live alone and like to keep it itchy around my house. I'm very turned on by rhythmic slapping while being mushed. I am turned off by shrimp. Please page me if you'd like to get to know more about my panty liner obsession. Looking forward to hearing from you. With all due respect, Raw Dog.
Dear Raw Dog, wow. I feel as though we would be perfect for each other. My body type is slippery, and I have big cankles and 2 small earlobes. I feel like that is very similar to what you're looking for. I'd be pleased to take you on a date to Long John Silver's, where I would hand feed you Salisbury steak. We would then twerk at my parents' house so my whole family could get to know you. I noticed that your profession is bathroom attendant. It must take a lot of skill to somersault all day long. I would sure love to spit on you when you get home from work every day. I have attached my photo. You'll see that I collect brass knuckles. It's a passion of mine. I also handcraft feathers in my spare time. If you would like to accept my date invitation, please respond via carrier chinchilla within the next 7 days. Lovingly, Tay.
Wow. I might give you a response after that.
That is exactly what I thought they would sound like.
I picture my profile pretty damn similar.
That's a definite fuck on the first date if you ever ask me.
See, we never done online dating, but we already have it down. Mm-hmm. We're ready to go. Put this out. Put it everywhere. Farmers only, whatever. So this goes into first ever conversations. So this was our first time doing an online profile, but let's talk a little bit about a first kiss and let's just call it whatnots. So I was quite embarrassed with my first kiss. Not going to mention any names, but I will say I was an eighth grader. I was going into freshman year of high school when I actually first made out with somebody. And so we're in a yard. Go in for the kiss, and I'm going to try to explain this the best way possible, but like I just kept my mouth open and wiggled the tongue, I guess like a snake. Like, you know, you normally you kiss, you like you open the mouth, you close it like periodically. I just kept it open and slithered my tongue around like a complete snake. And the chick who I'm still friends with now to this day said, pushed me on both of my shoulders and said, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I was so scared and nervous. I looked at her. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, "You don't know how to kiss. Let me teach you." So I got a lesson the first time how to do it. And ever since then, she set me straight.
That's pretty good. My first kiss was when I think I was 13 years old. And it was on my first date also. We went out to the movie theater. And we were watching this movie. And he leans over and he asks me if he can kiss me. Which was nice, I guess. And I said yes. So he goes in to kiss me. And the whole movie theater turns black. And we smack faces. We did not reattempt the kiss after this.
Like, did you guys acknowledge it? Or did you, like, were you awkward and try to play it off like it never happened?
Yeah, like, we did not acknowledge
it. How old
it.
Were you?
I think 13.
Yeah, that's tough. Did you ever end up kissing?
Yeah, we did. About, like, 2 or 3 yeah. weeks later, we got the courage to try it again.
How was that one?
I don't really remember, so.
You want to say his name?
Not memorable.
That. What about, like, so there's obviously other awkward times and not just kissing. I'll say I had a little experience in 8th grade that's made me the man I am today. And, we had like a big 8th grade dance. It was called like the 8th grade dinner dance. So it was a dance. Then afterwards we got driven in my friend's mom's minivan to the local, restaurant in where I grew up.
A choreographed flash dance.
Yeah. Choreographed flash dance. But so I'm in the back of the van, and there's this girl that I grew up with. She sits right on my lap, and she's got a fucking dress on. And remember, I'm in 8th grade. And this chick, I will say, was a little more advanced than I was. I was a little timid at the time. But so she sits right on my lap. Okay, no big deal. I get a little chub, whatever. It's like a 5-minute drive.
And little keyword.
And all of a sudden, she moves her leg to the side, opens her legs, and pulls her dress up. And grabs my hand and puts it right down to her underwear.
Oh, God.
So I was like, okay, is this going to happen? So my hand's over her underwear, and she decides to move it to the side for just a bare open shot, we'll say. So I'm like, fuck, I don't know what I'm fucking doing. Like, what the fuck? Do I just touch it? Do I flick it? Do I stick it in?
Oh, God.
I don't know. Like, I heard at the time, you flick it, flick the bean. But I was so nervous, so I kind of went for it. And like you guys, as we did the episode before, like I hate shit on my hands and gross things. So instantly I go in and I'm like, oh God, what the fuck is it? Why do people like this? And like I had slime on my hands. So we go
slime.
Yeah. Like double dare. Nickelodeon slime with Mark Summers. So we pull into the restaurant. So
wait, so her mom is in this.
So we're in a van, so she can't see us in the back. There's like 7 of us.
Oh, I thought it was her mom.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
So I'm in the way back of the van. Mom's in front. There's 7 of us in there. No one knows this is going on between us or besides us two. So we pull into the parking lot. I told you it was a short drive. So I'm like, fuck. So I'm sitting there. I got this shit in my hands. I don't know if I should smell it or not to know what it smells like. And then I also got a fucking boner in my pants. So I got to walk into the restaurant with pitching a tent. So we go into the restaurant. I'm full salute. I like have my hands over. I go to the bathroom as soon as I can. Wash my hands. Like I was so scared. I wanted to wash my hands so quickly. I never smelled it. I never took the dive to smell it. Washed my hands. And I did. At the time, Limpies was not available. So I just had to do the waistband maneuver. And I sat. And I think I ate chicken tenders at the table next to her. But she wasn't even my date for the dinner dance.
That's so funny. I mean, those childhood memories of just getting caught in the act and, you know, it's just, I think everybody experiences those once in a while.
Trying to hide it from your parents. You know,
I have a unique situation in the way that I really met my now wife, and that I was down in Miami a few years back, South Beach, and my wife happens to be from Puerto Rico. So I'm minding my own business, playing catch with a football, and I see this Sprite bottle raft floating up. And of course, it's B, my wife, and her whole family. They had escaped Puerto Rico on a Sprite bottle raft. And I looked at them, and I felt sorrow, so I said, vamos, vamos! And I got them on shore, and to this day, we're happily, married.
You're really like John Smith. Like,
wait, is that a true story?
Completely true.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's not true.
Why don't you just lie to us, you fuck?
I was impressed.
So what do you guys think? First, let's go back to first dates, whether it's in your current relationship or not. What's acceptable? Can you fuck on the first date? Do you wait to the second date, the third date? When do you get like over the bra, under the pants? What's your guys' rules? I think it's completely acceptable.
Anal on the second.
Yeah. Or if not the same night.
I mean, I don't know. If you're looking for a real relationship, I don't know if first date's the way to go.
So would that be a caution sign if you fuck on the first date?
Yeah, I think that would be more of like a fling thing.
I don't know if I really think that's what you think, Amber. I don't know. I'm not getting
Well, I'm that. Happily married, so.
So you could get all four bases on the first date is what you're saying.
All four bases? Wouldn't that be the fourth base?
Do you not foreplay? You don't do any? You just go right for fourth base?
No, why?
You
got to
hit first, second, and third before you get home.
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't you do one, two, and three before the fourth?
Yeah, I'm saying, can you do all four on the first date?
No, I think you should space it out a bit.
I don't think so. And I want to hear your guys' what you think first, second, third, and fourth bases or home plate.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I've always questioned. I feel like it's a gray area. It's a completely gray area.
Let's define it right now for our sensible
nation. So I'm going to define it for the sensible nation. So first base is making out with a hand on the titty.
Below the bra or over the bra? Or over the shirt? So you feel the nipple.
That's first base.
All right. I agree.
I could accept that.
Second base. I told you we're turning her.
Upside down blowjob.
Like 69? What do you mean upside down? Like you do a handstand and just give a nice nasty blowjob?
Let's just
I want to know what upside down is. Do you guys have like those, like she hangs from the ceiling? And like,
I'm not saying it's my thing. I'm telling the
sensible
nation.
I want to hear more about the upside down blowjob.
What second base is.
All right, upside down blowjob.
Third base, sex.
All right.
Fourth base, or... home run, anal.
It's gotta be anything about it.
I think third is respectable on the first date.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about upside down blowjob, but
depends how many beers. Yeah,
anything oral's gotta be second.
Two,
base.
Three beers. Home run's not.
What
out
about
of the
if
question.
Like maybe my home run would be like introduce somebody else. You know, maybe your friend.
That's a
like,
grand slam. That's,
yeah, bases
maybe
are
grandma.
Loaded. Bases are loaded.
Grandma.
Grandma wants to clean the cobwebs
out. Not
we have established there is some good-looking grandmas out there.
If grandma's Christy Brinkley, bring her on.
Why couldn't you put her in that box, Amber, and we could have brought her up?
Oh, my God.
So we kind of got dating sex, but what about breaking up? That's a big part of dating.
It is, and it sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah. So what's your guys' kind of ratio? Did you break up with people more, or were you broken up with more?
I would say like I think I'm half and half, and I was such a pussy with fucking breakups. I don't know why the women fucking just got me by the balls, and I am such a pussy when it comes to breakups.
So I've been with my wife for an extraordinarily long time, so since we were kids essentially. So my breakups were basically shitty ass, like meaningless relationships.
They weren't doing upside down blowjobs.
Right. Yeah. So I don't really have much to say here, to be honest with you. I mean, I feel your pain, I suppose.
I hate, like, you know, the worst parts about it, it's like you get in such denial, especially if it was like a long term relationship. You hear the phrases like, it's not you, it's me. I just need time. And then you believe it. And you put all, like, you invest time in it, and it just fucking sucks. When I should have just said, fuck you, on to the next.
I think you just got to kill the person who yeah, ends up with
I
you.
I thought about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it is
I really
you.
Did.
And then
you're
take
right.
him out to a cornfield
it is not
and butcher
me.
Him.
Fuck you.
Don't listen to that.
No, you know what? Be a straight shooter when you break up with somebody. If you were fucking some other dude or girl, just say, I was fucking somebody else, and go on with it. It's better to give them straight shooting than to lie. Don't lie to somebody.
Sensible answer.
I was given an upside down massive blowjob, and I still want to give this guy an upside down blowjob, so I'm done with you. That's
Love
the way
it.
I look at it.
And me too.
So when if you get past the stage of the breakup and you decide that you want to marry the person, you move into the engagement phase. So as a woman, you don't really have to do much leading up to the engagement because that's kind of all put on the guy. So for you guys, what was it like to buy the ring and plan the proposal?
I'll start. I didn't have to buy a ring. I'm the luckiest son of a bitch on the planet. She did it for you? No, so I actually, my wife has a family heirloom.
Okay.
And it's a really unique ring that used to be a tie pin from Spain, you know, 100 years ago or whatever, yeah. Decades at the very minimum. So yeah, I lucked out. Got a beautiful ring.
Pretty You're expensive. Lucky.
Yeah, of course. So I didn't have to go, number one, I didn't have to go through the purchasing process, yeah. Which can be stressful. Number two, didn't have to spend a dime.
You're fucking lucky because that's a nerve-wracking time. And it's weird. It's like when it just hits you when you realize, like, so you're dating and then all of a sudden it says like, oh, I want to get married to her. I want to get engaged. And so I realized my time when I did it, like I realized that it was time. And I go to the jewelry store and I was so nervous. So first of all, I had no idea what anything cost, obviously. Mm-hmm. Most people go into it brand new. No one has experience with doing it twice. I mean, divorce rate's high, but whatever. And so nervous, go in there. Luckily, where I went, they gave me beers to settle down. It calmed my nerves, actually. It really did. The girl was so nice, made the process so easy, but definitely spent a little more than I was expecting because, again, I had no idea. But
that's
like,
why they buttered you up.
But then, like, you get the ring and you're driving your car. It's like, oh shit, what do you like? When do I do this? Like, how long do I wait and let this sit there? Like, you got to hide the thing. And it's so nerve-wracking. I had to go talk to her dad and I had to tell some of my best friends and some of the family. And then that time waiting to ask is literally the most like nerve-wracking thing. I don't know about you, Taylor. I was in Jamaica when I asked Dana to marry me. And
yeah, I'm on.
I'm not a nervous person by any sense. There's not a lot of things that make me nervous. I felt like the chest burster was in my chest before I asked. And we're out to dinner and I brought her down and it's just like, I almost fell in the ocean, I think, and floated away. I was so nervous, but so glad I got it over with.
Yeah, and proposal day, I was the same way. I was terrified. Like, we knew we were going to get married. We had been together forever, so we knew what was the end game. We were going to get married. And I did it on a cruise, essentially. We went on vacation, and we were on shore in the Bahamas. And I did it, and I was so fucking petrified of that moment. I don't know why.
Yeah,
like,
why
not a nervous
is that?
Person, but
it was like somebody was grabbing me by the testicles, like as hard as you possibly can grab and twisting.
You almost had a torsion. Yeah.
Even
did
though you knew
out?
That they were going to say yes,
yeah,
right?
Or not,
did you fear?
No,
there was
not,
no question.
You're not nervous if they're going to say yes, but it's just weird. Like, I don't know why it's so nerve-wracking.
Just making the commitment.
It's that same piece for the rest of your life.
Are we going to have to edit that in post?
I love you, Dana. So yeah, so you get engaged, and what comes before the wedding?
Party time.
The party time, the bachelorette, the bachelor parties. And it is guy code, it is girl code. We're not going to sit here and say things that we shouldn't say. So I know my crew is listening, and you're a little nervous, but you guys are safe because I'm not going to sit here and say anything that would ruin anything, but I wanted to share one little story that was personally affected by me. So on my bachelor party, I had so much fun. I wish I could do it once a month, the fun that I had. But of course, like most bachelor parties, we had a strip show in our lodging area. And the show was great, let me say. But one thing they did that I never saw is they did this little wax reenactment or activity, I guess you call it. It was, she dripped wax down her stomach and it went down into the below the belt region. Oh. So it created a mold, per se. So when it dried, you have a mold of her parts. So, trying
a
to goodie clean
bag.
This up. So as the bachelor that I was, so she pulls out like the mold. It almost looked like like the Halloween lips that you can wear, like wax.
Oh, God.
So she hands it to me, and at the time, I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to keep this forever. But anyway, I throw it in my backpack, and so it's time to go home from the bachelor party, and been a long weekend. Obviously, we all know that. Everybody's felt that. Get home. I could barely speak. I lost my voice. So I get home. I say hi to my wife. I was so tired. I barely could even talk to her. I go right to bed. So I'm in bed. She wakes me up. The mold was in my pocket. It fell out on the bed sheets, and there it is laying in her bed, this mold of the stripper's pussy. And, you know, as being the good wife that she is, she understands. It was just a strip show, but funny, like, funny why games. The fuck did I let that fall into the bed? It was like tie-dye color. It was pretty cool looking.
What'd you do afterwards? Did you frame it?
I think it's still in my closet.
Give it to your son?
Yeah, it's a family heirloom, like you said, like the ring. We give it every Christmas.
It's going to be a tie pin in a couple years.
Jackson will get it soon when he's 18.
The only thing I have to say to that story is, ouch. Like, she drips hot wax on herself.
You know what? That's a good woman,
that
Amber.
That sounds terrifying.
Sturdy.
So after the bachelor or bachelorette party, you obviously move on to the wedding. And I personally have a lot of questions about weddings, and particularly why these trends keep going on. And my first one is, why in the world do people make you do arts and crafts at their wedding?
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, explain.
Like, when you walk in and you got to put your little thumbprint on the tree, or you got to decorate the little Christmas ornament for their tree, or you got to, you know, sign the little books with a little story and a Polaroid of yourself.
Why? It's a Wisconsin thing.
Coming from a woman, I'm surprised she doesn't like these little dainty bullshit, like romantic stuff.
Like, what are you honestly going to do with that giant ass canvas of a tree with all of your relatives' thumbprints on
it? Put your thumbprint on there and put it up and don't ask, because it's their wedding.
I don't want to write on your popsicle sticks for later. Like, come on.
Did this you guys have guess. Arts and crafts?
I don't think so.
Now that I think about it, we did.
Yeah, there you go.
But
did you make log cabins with popsicle sticks?
I think, no. But we have like this tall vase, clear vase, that has these like stones.
Okay.
And people wrote like words of advice.
Did you go
we have
look
it
at
in
them?
Our bedroom.
That's cute.
In on top That's of cute. Our my dresser.
Okay.
Very cute.
And I think at our wedding, people signed
popsicle
a big
sticks.
Framed photo from our engagement shoot.
Okay.
We didn't have arts and crafts, but we did have a glory hole. We just had them pay $5 and you just saw the lines.
What about that like annoying space between the wedding and the reception? Like, I get it, you gotta go and take your pictures, but why can't you do that before the wedding?
Such
what are you supposed
shit.
To do?
I do
so
hate
mad.
That.
You sit in the parking lot. Like,
I once had to travel 9 hours in between wedding actual ceremony and reception.
Yeah, 9 hours?
9 hours by tricycle.
Complete morons.
No, I'm fucking with you, but there are long gaps. I mean, even like an hour, I get it. Especially if the venues are different. Makes mm-hmm. sense, right? A little travel time. And people can entertain themselves in between with the cocktail hour or whatnot, but I agree. It's like sometimes it gets a little
so
lengthy.
Yeah, just like the stupid bridal shower fucking games. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate it. It's not cute.
I don't go to that shit, though. I've been to the couple shower, though. It's the same thing. You play games, but...
You had to go to your own bridal shower, right? Did you show up
for a little bit? No, I didn't. Had a bridal shower.
I had to just show up for like 5-10 minutes. We did a little game. You get the little grandmas in the back chucking.
I think I was in Tijuana sipping pina coladas during
it's
that.
It's just so shitty.
And that awkward game where you have to like fill out the sheets of like, who knows the bride or groom better? Yeah. And then like half of the answers are wrong on everyone's and you just realize nobody even knows who you are.
Who are you? Yeah, exactly. You know what is the biggest problem really? Is that you've got fucking bridal shower, bachelorette and bachelor parties. You've got engagement party.
There's too much.
There's the wedding. It's just so expensive. And fuck, if you're in the wedding and you gotta pay for other shit, like your outfit for the day and attire.
It sucks.
It's like, oh man, it's endless.
And how much are you expected to give people at their wedding? Especially if you've gone to all these other things and then you gotta give another
gift.
Well,
I think it's technically supposed to be traditionally anyways, you're paying for your head, basically.
Okay.
So if there's two of you, and it's, let's say it's a nice wedding, it's $75 a plate.
Bullshit.
You're technically supposed to be paying $150.
Tell me what I owe. Like, give me a receipt, an invoice. I want to know what I fucking owe you. Because I don't want any debate. I'll just say I've gotten a lot of lowball gifts at my wedding without throwing anybody under the bus. Thanks for trying, asshole.
But it's like, it's your wedding. You're choosing to do this. Why do we got to pay you to have your own wedding?
Because I'm hosting your ass. Yeah. And you're eating my food. You're dancing on my fucking dance floor.
I agree. I do agree.
And you're watching me over the waterfall.
I disagree.
Kiss the bride.
I did the best thing and I eloped. So nobody had to pay for my
wedding.
I eloped.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
That means that we ran off and got married. we got married without friends or family or anything. We went to the Capitol, didn't tell anyone, got married, and told them 2 weeks later.
She's a hill rock.
This is actually the first time publicly she said how she got married or she's married. She's announcing it right now.
I always wondered
Amber
if he was real.
Amber is married.
We did have a little dinner afterwards, but we didn't really expect people to give us anything if they didn't want
to. Did anybody give you anything?
Yeah, we did get some stuff. Yeah.
Just Amber, mm-hmm. Adam, and a bottle of 100% DEET in the deep woods.
I think that's why I have so many like things wrong with weddings, because I didn't have one. I just chose not to.
Speaking, you know, what's wrong with weddings, it fires me the fuck up, is the time period after, like, you go in and there's no open bar during dinner. Who the fuck thought of that fucking rule? Take it and put it right up your ass, because keep the goddamn bar open. People are at weddings to drink. Do not close the bar. You sit there and you sober up. You have a nice little spritzer of wine at the table is all they fucking offer. Bullshit. I want a nice glass of liquor or a beer, and I want to keep getting fucked up at your wedding so I can dance. Don't close the bar.
100% fucking agree. Because as much as we're bitching about these weddings, how awesome are weddings to attend? It's just an excuse to go get blitzed. And sometimes, oftentimes, it's at a hotel, yep. Somewhere you can just, you know, rent the room for the night and not worry about driving or getting home. You just get completely blitzed, have a good time. But when they close that bar, fuck that. Well, first of all, a lot of people don't do the open bar, mm-hmm. which is like, you're not getting a gift if you don't do open bar.
I'm not bringing a gift if it's cash bar.
Oh, exactly. So no gifts if you do cash bar. That's sensible opinion. But yeah, open bar, like in between the meal, I want to fucking be able to, you know, give me a funnel. I want a butt funnel, a Moscato spritzer in between the next speech, you know,
we're
and
all
the cutting
of the
cake.
Fucked up. But you know what happened to me too? Has this happened to you guys? So when we got married, we sent out our invitations or whatever. So let's say we sent it to like a couple, like just the couple. Mm-hmm. They would bring their whole family of six when I just invited the fucking couple.
Oh, that's like not etiquette.
Fuck yourself. Are you serious?
Yeah. Circling back to our school of etiquette, we would have taught them that in the sensible people like, school
because
for etiquette.
You guys,
you don't do that.
You're trying to set like the table like situations, and then you get that going. You get people that RSVP 2 weeks after you told them this is the deadline. Don't you know deadlines? Put it on your calendar.
Yeah, people are
assholes.
So fucking unaware and rude. Like, I got so many people ask me. So we had a relatively small wedding. We invited, I think,
3,000.
Yeah. I want to say we invited like 150 to 175 and about 120 showed, which is pretty typical. And, you know, we had all these people. So it's a relatively small, intimate wedding. We had all these people ask us, well, can I bring like this random date? Blah, blah, blah. Like, mm-hmm. No, you can't. Like, if you're in a relationship and it's a significant relationship, a real relationship, you've been dating someone for a few years, like, sure, by all means. Like, they're invited as well. And we sent them an invite.
Yeah.
If you're married, without question. Engaged, without question. But we had some of our friends ask us, like, can this, like, random person come? Like, no. I'm not paying for fucking their fucking steak dinner that night just so they can get drunk on my fucking dollar.
No, I agree. We had, so, like, when we sent out the save the dates and the invitations, We have a big group of friends and a lot of acquaintances. And obviously, you have to draw the line somewhere, because also for us, we have a big family. I'm friends with a lot of, like, I grew up with, like, my dad's friends. So there's a lot of, like, you know, older people that come. So we had to draw the line somewhere, and just flat out, there's acquaintances that didn't get invited. That, I mean, doesn't mean we don't like you, but we would then go out before we got married, and the people that didn't get invited would be like, they would see us, and literally we had almost probably 10 people flat out ask us, like, can I come to your wedding?
Yeah, like, how rude.
Like, dude, you're
fuck
not,
you.
You just don't say that.
I wanted to just fucking bash someone's head in when they asked me that after, like, the third time.
Don't you look at me? You just want to be like, are you a fucking moron?
Yeah.
Like, who asked that?
It just puts you in an awkward situation. It
does.
You say no.
If you were invited, you get an invite.
No, it puts you in the awkward situation of how am I going to have to kill this fucking idiot?
Yeah, complete moron. And then, like, how about some of the wedding? What kind of wedding gifts have you guys got? Oh, because there was definitely some interesting wedding gifts we got.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten worse Christmas gifts, yeah, I must say. But there were some bad, like, you know what was bad? The people that you know are just filthy rich. Like, we had a few people that are like, you have the means, and you gave us a fucking used tampon. Like,
yeah.
Not to that extent, but they gave us shit. And you're like, really? Really?
I appreciate all the gifts that we receive.
Of course.
Don't get me wrong.
Except the shittiest gifts.
Same thing that you're saying. There's people that we know very well off. The weirdest one we got for a wedding gift was a reboxed nativity scene for fucking Christmas. First of all, I don't display that in my house. And second of all, why are you giving me that for my wedding gift? Give me a check.
Honestly, just, you know what you do? You add them to the hit list.
Completely.
Yeah, like I said, we didn't get very many gifts because we didn't have an actual wedding. But what we did get were a ton of trinkets, just like engraved angels and like little picture frames
so
with my
cute.
Love on them. Like,
engraved angels.
I don't have anything to do with these. Like, I don't have the shelf space in my house to keep these trinkets.
Just throw them out.
I'd rather have a fabric sex toy.
Yeah. What did you guys talk to every table? I mean, we had close to 300 people at ours.
It's a big wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't, actually. And we meant to. And I hope that I interacted, because I appreciate everybody that showed up. And I hope that I interacted with one or another. It's everybody.
And
at some
public
point.
Service announcement.
And I think we ended up kind of splitting up at one point and doing like different tables and such, and I don't think we didn't make it all the way around.
I'm so glad we didn't talk to a single table.
Not one.
I'll say I thank you, friends, family, acquaintances, for everything, for showing up. We really appreciate it, but I just not taking the time to talk to every one of you at your table during my wedding.
It's all small talk bullshit.
It
anyways.
Is. Hey, oh, you guys, how's
it's
the
so nice to see you again.
How's the food? Is it moist? How's the pork?
Yeah. A little bit of glass. Did you get that glass in your steak?
Well, yeah. And then like, you're going to get an old lady that has a problem with something. Right. And she's going to tell you. And it's like, I don't want to fucking hear it.
I think we did, because our dinner was so small. We did talk to everyone. But what about those receiving lines?
I thought it was
lines?
Just you and him.
No.
In the deep woods.
Afterwards, we had a dinner. And it was
receive.
It was
what are you
the receiving?
The receiving
lines. No, coming out of the
glory
wedding.
Hole.
And then you have to go and hug us.
I did have a receiving line. It was called the glory hole.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah. I
that
know.
Line where you got to go hug everyone?
We didn't do that shit.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh,
you
that's
did?
Terrible. I hate that.
Did
no,
you?
We didn't do that, oh. But I've been in weddings before, so I had to be in that receiving line. I'm just hugging everyone's grandma and like the old people
sweat,
who you don't know.
Sweaty,
and it's like, why am I hugging
sweaty?
You?
Yeah, that's not my favorite.
The funny thing, I don't know about you guys, but I was a big fan of, I'm always have been of wedding speeches. I like listening to a good story.
A good one.
A good one.
Because a bad one can be brutal,
so,
right?
I had more than most. We had four people speak at my wedding, and I love you to death. You know who I'm talking about, and you know I do. But I just have to mention, this was just a sight that I've never witnessed at a wedding. And the speech was just so beautifully bad. And you know who you are. I love you, and you know that. But it was a train wreck. And I'm sitting there because I was next to speak, so I'm sitting there watching. I know you had a couple drinks. There was one point she told the audience, fuck you. And she's pointing at grandma's talking. But that's how it goes. It's all part of a wedding. It's what makes the experience. It's on video, and we're going to be able to witness that for the rest of our lives. Again, just forget about it.
I mean,
it's
awesome. Was it like laughable at
completely
least?
Completely laughable.
Okay.
So were
in hindsight,
laughing?
No.
No, no.
But in hindsight, it's funny. Maybe one time we'll have to play a little snippets from it.
I mean, the only thing that I would suggest, and I've seen good speeches, love them, seen bad speeches too at weddings, but the only thing I suggest you do not do is tell the story about how your dick turned into an inside-out vagina.
Yeah, I hear you.
So please don't. But all right, we hope that you guys have learned a lot today about relationships. We've taught you the ropes about dating, engagements, bachelor party, and weddings.
And this is just part one. What we got coming next is actually life being married. What comes next is those little kids spit out. And then what comes after being married for a while, you got divorce. So stay tuned for part two.
We are sensible people. Love you guys. Thank
you.
See ya, Sensible Nation.